Welcome to Turn One Wild in the Cattle, where we talk everything related to grinding MTG events and making content. The idea is to give you a backstage pass into the lives of some real MTG grinders. I'm Zach Allen, I'll be your host for today, and joining me we have Kat Light.
Hello!
How's it going, Kat?
I'm doing well, just today I'm packing, and I hate it, but I'm doing it.
Oh, a lot of packing?
a lot of packing for the... As you know, I'm moving to Michigan on Sunday, so it's a little far from South Carolina. A lot of long way to move all of my shit.
Yeah, that is a crazy move, but we're going to get into that later in the show.
Yes.
Before we get into that, we have some more important topics to hit on. And additionally, I would like to apologize to the listeners for missing last month's episode. As you know, or most of you may know, I was busy at the Pro Tour, and Kat actually joined me for coverage there. So we had a pretty busy month, even though it doesn't seem like it, because there's no episode. But going forward, I'd like to let you guys know that we're going to start upping the quality of our content, and maybe have something else for you guys. We'll see. We got some plans in the works here, and we'll see what comes of it. So, as for this week's show, Kat... We had the Invitational last weekend, right?
Yes.
How did the Invitational go for you?
Oh, well, I 5-3 day one, so I did better, because last time I 4-4'd.
Okay.
So, like, I improved there, and Zan really wanted all of us just basically, like, improve our personal records. But I didn't play very well on day two, and I ended up dropping at like 7-7.
Yikes.
I didn't go very well, and that round nine on, so like first round of day two, I played the Bant Spirits Mirror and got captain locked, and then they went double vial, and I was like, all right, cool, none of my spells are resolving.
It was rough. Yeah, I remember coming up behind that double vial game, seeing him have two vials and three spell quellers in hand. I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah, when he drew the fourth queller, I was like, "All right, cool, you got it. Yep. You outplayed me." So that was like how my day started. But I had a ton of fun. I got to meet a lot of people. I shoved my face full of Waffle House after dropping with Brandon, which was awesome. He hates Waffle House, but he went with me anyways. And I'm probably gonna go tomorrow for breakfast, lunch, and dinner the next 3 days until I move.
Yeah, well, you're not getting any up here, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, that's a problem, so we're going to have to fix that. But
yep.
I had a ton of fun, and we had like a house, like a testing house for Lotus Box, which was awesome, and it was a lot of fun. The weekend ended kind of roughly with my deck being stolen, my Spirits deck.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So, obviously, day two ends on Saturday with a little disappointment, and then you go home and said your deck got stolen?
Yeah, so we had a party at our Airbnb for probably like 20 people there. It wasn't a ton of people, but I first of all, like, always put away all my cards, and there's like a lot of people, and there's a couple people we didn't really know. And so like, I was like, Zan, put away your cards, and I put away my cards within my room. And then they did like an 8-man, $20, or we don't gamble. I mean, an 8-man pod.
Sure, sure.
They did like an 8-man modern thing, and Zane was like, hey, Kat, give me Spirits. And I was like, sure. And I gave him Spirits, and I remember watching him play it, and then I got set down on like a table somewhere, and then I went to bed and came back down Sunday morning and didn't see it, and was just like, huh, that's kind of weird. I was like, it'll show up, it's whatever, it's probably in someone's bag, like, no big deal. And then Monday, like, we got snowed in, so we were there an extra day, because we had like 18 inches of snow. Like, it was unreal.
Yeah, it was a crazy day. Yeah,
it snowed for literally 24 hours, and I was just like, it's not even slowing down, this is nope. Crazy. So we ended up getting snowed in, but then on Monday we finally, like, it slowed down, so we were gonna try to go home, and my deck wasn't anywhere. We couldn't find it.
Yeah, that sucks. That really does.
So we did like a buddy system where it was like somebody, like one person, somebody they didn't know really well, they went through each other's bags of people that stayed there to make sure, like, it wasn't anyone's bags, that we could have all the bases covered. And then I had some friends go through other friends' bags that weren't there, and it was gone. It's nowhere to be found. And it really sucks, because I'm, like, in this spot where... It sucks because my deck is gone, And then it sucks because I'm in the spot where I'm, like, suspecting, like, all of my, like, closest friends.
Yeah.
And it fucking sucks. Like, it sucks so much because I don't want to live there. Like, live in that spot. Like, I'd rather just be like, yep, my deck's gone. I don't know what happened to it. I don't want to have to suspect anyone, but it's gone. And, like, not worry about it. But then also, like, well, what if it happens again to someone else? And it's just this horrible spot to be in.
Well, the worst thing, too, is, like, you know, if it had been just straight up your fault, like, you were just absent-minded, you, like, left it sitting out after an SCG event or something, like, after round, whatever, you just forget to put it in your bag and walk away, like, obviously that would suck, but, like, at the same time, like, you know, you kind of deserve it, right? You're like, because you left it sitting out, but, like, this is like someone asked you to borrow your deck, and then you, like, entrust them with it, and then it just never got back to you, which is just,
that's horrible. And it wasn't Zan's fault either. No,
it's probably not his fault, right? But it's just, like,
it was the, first of all, it's always the fault of whoever the fuck picked it up.
Yeah, it's whoever stole it.
Didn't give it back.
Yeah.
But it was also, like, we're, like, with all of our friends. Like, that's not a spot where anyone's ever gonna be worried.
Yep. Yeah, so
it's just,
that, I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely miserable, so. Obviously you were pretty upset about it, I imagine. And I think, you know, people who follow you on Twitter kind of saw that you were pretty upset.
So I tweeted about it on Monday. I was like,
yep.
Hey, if anyone sees a half foil band spirits deck with RPTQ promo nobles and onslaught pledgestrians, hit me up. Yep. I don't know where mine is.
Yep.
And then it was like it was the most surreal, overwhelming, like, I'm gonna cry thinking about it again, response I've ever experienced, where everyone just, like, rallied behind me to, fuck, I'm gonna cry, rallied behind me to, like, put all these decks together, and my friend Matt Bensoul, like, did a Google Doc, and, like, I didn't ask anyone to do that, I was just like, hey, if you see my deck, let me know, and then everyone was like, let's help her rebuild, and it was just, I'm gonna have a deck that has, like, all of these people who care about me. You're gonna sign all these cards. Like, you donated your foil Cocos, and I'm gonna have these amazing Cocos. Every time I cast it, I get to see your signature on them, and it's gonna make me so happy. And, like, it's like they managed to replace not just my cards, but all of the sentimental value. And it's the most, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, no, it's overwhelming watching it from afar, you know? It's tough. It's tough to not just smile at it, because it's so incredible to just see this happen, where, you know, like, I mean, I can put myself in your position. Like, I have a deck that I have had foil for 3 years, and if it got stolen, it would, I mean, I'd be crushed. I don't know what I would do. I'd be so upset if I lost it. And, you know, just to see it happen to somebody is just, it's terrible. It really is. And then, oh my god, the response is just even better. It really is. It just makes it so much, like, you know, it just makes you feel so happy to be part of this community, to see people do this, and
yeah, I just, sometimes bad things happen in our community, and there's some shitty people, and then, like, things like this happen, and I'm just, like, in tears grateful to be a part of such an amazing group of people.
Yep. Yeah, so, I think Ben Reagan started it, right, where he just messages you, and he's like, alright. I got
foil mausoleum. Yeah, he sent me the receipt. He was like, I already bought them, and you can pick them on Columbus. He just sent me the receipt for them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For 4 mausoleum wanderers. And I was just like, dude, I lost it like 6 hours ago. Like, you don't have to do that. And he's like, nope, it's done. He's like, I'm going to sign them when I get there.
Yep.
And I was just like, and he started it. And then you donated your Cocos, and I had friends. Will Pulliam delivered my Noble yesterday when we got dinner, and it's already signed, and I just can't. I can't wait to play it in Columbus, and hopefully we'll be on camera, and everyone gets to be like, look, I gave over that card, and I get to be like, yeah, you did, and it mattered. It's so important to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm excited for Columbus now just to hand these off and see this deck. This is going to be incredible. This is the first time.
Beautiful.
This is literally the first time I could ever, like, now more than anything, like, this was, obviously, like, Spirits was your deck, but this is, like, the community's deck. This is, like, MTG Twitter's deck. Like, they put it together. Behind you, and that's awesome. You're gonna get crushed with it, so.
And I get to be have the honor of just of playing the community deck, and I'm just.
Yep.
I'm so happy. It's the Spirit Squad deck. It's like truly the Spirit Squad deck.
It really is. So this is gonna be an awesome event. I'm excited to go. I was going to go to a Grand Prix, but can't.
Now,
I gotta go
now
to this
you're
now.
Not.
Yeah, I gotta go to this now. So I will be in Columbus. Who are you teaming with in Columbus?
I'm teaming with Brandon Dalloway and Jocelyn Lombaria.
Oh, that's a sick team.
I know. I'm so excited. She just qualified, or she lost in the semis to, but in the cube qualifier with Spirits, like, she went undefeated.
Look, Jazz is a yeah. secret, like, master. People don't know, but Jazz is, like, one of the best modern players in all of Michigan.
She's fantastic. Brandon's fantastic. He's so good. Yep. He, like, his consistent top 16s at SCGs and two or three top 8s, like, and he's one of my best friends. So, like, it's just gonna be, first of all, fun as fuck. I'm gonna have to play this beautiful new deck. And it's, like, with my best friends, and it's just gonna be so much fun. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so that's gonna be an awesome event, for sure. Yeah, I can't wait. Oh, man. Starting to get me emotional with this. This is crazy.
I'm sorry. I've had so many feelings the past 3 days. It's been a roller coaster.
I can only imagine. So, yeah, so, you know, so for people who haven't been paying attention to the cast since the last one we had, I ended up doing, I think we talked about, you know, my team for the Pro Tour and all of that ahead of it, but ended up doing pretty well at the Pro Tour. And what that led into was me getting pretty close to a pro status. I qualified. I'm actually silver now in for whatever the system is. So I'm silver
for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. You're silver. So, well, no. So I don't understand how any of this works, but essentially, I'm very close to a pro status, right? And, well, I already qualified for silver, and I'm pretty close to gold. So, like, getting gold is a big deal in Magic. Like, you get plane tickets, you get invites to all the pro tours, there's all this stuff. And gold was, like, an incredibly reasonable goal for me. It was, like, I literally just had to show up to 10 Grand Prix, and I was gold. That was all I had to do. And then last Friday, before the Invitational, actually, I think it was Thursday night, mm-hmm. Wizards puts out this bombshell, right? They have this Game Awards announcement, and they drop on Thursday night, and they tell us that they're putting $10 million of prizes into the pro scene, and they're going to do this to make MTG Arena a huge competitive force. Along with it, they changed the Pro Tour completely. There's no more Pro Tours. They're just called Mythic Championships now. We have a ton of money in Arena. There's ways to qualify for these Mythic Championships just on Arena. There'll be apparently entire events made up of pros using just the Arena client. So it's not even just going to be like tabletop now. But there is still tabletop Magic going on. So you'll still get to see people play with cards that they actually own. And there'll still be tournaments and whatnot. And now there's going to be a Magic Pro League where 32 players that are, you know, sponsored by Wizards, under contract with Wizards, they're offering these players contracts, compete in, you know, weekly broadcast events. We don't even know the full details of how it's going to happen, but it looks like there'll be, you know, arena matchups between these players and some sort of ranking system and all of that to go with that. So, a ton of changes. They canceled two of the Pro Tours next year. And they say pro points stop existing as of June 20th. So, a lot of changes here. Kat, what were your thoughts on this whole system change, you know, Thursday when you heard of it? What was going through your mind, I guess?
So, I think it's great that they're going to basically double the money in the prize pool for all of professional/competitive Magic.
Sure.
So I think it's great that they're going to support Arena. Arena is definitely better than Modo. I haven't even played it, and I can tell you that, because it's not Modo.
Well, I have played Arena. I don't like it as much initially, but I would agree with you that it's probably going to be better.
Yeah, I think it's just the way that you don't have, first of all the stupid clicks.
Yep.
You don't... I think it just makes the game a lot easier to play, just from, like, with the streams that I've watched.
Sure.
And I think that the fact that they're really supporting this, like, esports view of Magic is awesome. I think it is net good for Magic. Trying to go the esports route, get all this promotion, make the viewership, or make, like, the viewer experience more interactive. Like, you know, like, if they play that stupid worm and it makes that big, it does that big visual, that, like, you're like, this is something that's crazy that's happening. Things like that. Or it's like, you can kind of, like, there's a little bit more intuitive about, like, what's going on in the game.
Yep.
I think that that, and the fact that it's, like, look, it's attacking their face, like, those visuals and stuff, like, even though for a Magic player, for me, it's like, oh, this is a lot. Having played, like, a lot of Paper Magic, I think it's really good for the viewer experience. So I think Arena's great. I love that they're doing all these things to, like, support Arena, that you can qualify the Pro Tour through it, or the Mythic Championships, whatever, for it. I think that the way that they're... I don't know how they're choosing the top 32 for the pros yet. If they're just going to pick the top 32, like, based on, like, number of, I guess, pro points, even though we aren't going to have those anymore, or whatever, I think that that is a mistake. I think that if you're trying to, like, go this whole esports route, you need to pick people that are good for branding. And people want to actually care about their stories and are engaging and are streamers and are good for Magic. Like, I don't think you can pick, like, the guys that, there are a couple of pro players that don't really seem to have personalities. And I don't think you can, I don't think you can choose those, to have, like, in this giant face of Magic, which a lot of, I know that there are a lot of people that don't, probably don't agree with me on that, because a lot of people are like, no, the results should get you your status, but that's just, like, not the way of the world.
No, so I agree with you on that, actually. I think you 100% need personalities, otherwise the entire premise of this thing doesn't work, right? Like,
yeah.
They have established a pro league, and, like, for any league to blossom, like, look at just professional sports right now in general. Like, look at the NBA and the NFL, where they have these, you know, characters on teams that are highly branded, highly likable, very public figures. And then look at baseball, which is the exact opposite, where it's just a team of players. And baseball's dying. People don't like baseball, honestly. Like people like baseball. People that have always liked baseball still watch it, but it's like, it's one
really
of the,
hard to get new viewers to baseball unless they, like, played it. Like, I'm not going to go out and watch baseball.
Oh, my
God. But, like, there's not no, even close. I don't really understand any of the stories. Like, it's just, like, not... Yeah, branded as well. But I think that, like, in Magic, like, you have pros. Like, Reed Duke is one of the best branded players in the face of the planet for Magic.
Do you like
He's
Reed?
He's a good Kat? Guy Magic. Oh, okay. Don't get me wrong, Reed. But, and so it's like, Corey Burkhart, they're good guys. They have a ton of personality. Like, well, okay. Corey Burkhart has a lot of personality. Reed is just this good guy who's, like, always nice to play against. And is just super, super nice all the time. And then Corey's, like, this, like, kind of sassy, knows what he's talking about, but also really friendly. Like, you just have, like, these stories around people, and I think that's great, and you have to choose people that are like that. Like, you have to want people to, like, want to go and meet these top 32. Like, Overwatch League, they have their different teams, and they have meet and greets, and people come out in hundreds to meet the people who play on Overwatch League. Like, that's what you want. You have to have this draw to want to know these players.
So I agree with you, and I think that, in general, these leagues need personalities. But I will say that I don't think every single person has to be a personality. I think you can have villains, and you can have, you know,
personalities. But villain is a type of personality.
Well, villain is, but and you can also have somebody who's just good. But you can't have very many of those. Like, you need a balance of these things. And I
can agree with that. You can't have everyone be an overflowing personality, or you just, it's too much.
Yep. Like, there still needs to be people in the league that, like, you want to see, you know, your favorite personality beat, right? And whether that's the villain, or whether that's just, you know, random person who just made it, or the newcomer. But you want newcomers. And that's one thing I'm concerned with this, is that the contracts for this Pro League are going to last 1 year. That's one of the things they put in the announcement. And it looks like, based on what they've announced so far, that the people in the announcement are going to have a contract for $75,000, which, first of all, is a ton of money. That's way more money than pros are making right now in Magic.
Oh, yeah, for sure, easily.
And that's locked in, like, base salary just to stream and play in this league. So that's a huge deal. And that is actually, like, that's like an amount of money you can live on. Like, that's a life, that's like a career,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it differs depending on where you live in the country, right? Like, if you're living in, you know, downtown San Francisco, that's probably barely a living wage.
But if you're living in downtown Greenville in South Carolina, you are going to do very nicely with that amount.
Yeah, you're probably going to be able to afford a nice house. So, you know, obviously it depends on where you are in the country, but at the same time, like, now all of a sudden Magic is like a career. Like, this is something you can do, and
Well, for the top 32 players in the country is something you can do.
Yeah, for those players, right? And it, this is not excluding, like, prize money from tournaments. It's not excluding, you know, outside sponsorship deals if that happens, whatever. But they announced that these contracts are going to be on a one-year basis, right? So that means that for 1 year, they can't change. So this just this league for a full year. So I'm with you in that I want to see how does this change? Like, how do they pick who is in, who is out, who gets the next contracts? Like, we need to see those details, and those aren't out yet, which is unfortunate. But I still think they're kind of trying to figure it out. So that's what that is. But, you know, I don't think the league's going to work without new personalities and new blood, you know, flowing in and out of it. So hopefully we get to see what happens with that. And we don't know, but, you know, we'll figure out eventually, I guess. But past that, obviously, there's this news about Arena. Kat, is the Arena news scaring you at all? Like, I know you play mostly Modern. Is this scaring you that this could hurt Modern?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to hurt Modern. I think it, because I think it's basically just, I almost see Arena as like a separate thing. Like, it's a thing for Standard. It's a thing for rotating format. Potentially they'll start a second non-rotating format, which would be great because Modern's all fucking over the place right now.
That's true.
That'd be fine. they just need to not include Kaladesh or Aetherable. Like, that's after that. Block was too strong.
Yeah, that one had some issues.
Yeah, we'd literally just see Teemer Energy until the end of time.
Yeah.
So I don't see it really as like competing with Modern. People love Modern. For some reason, I love Modern. People love Modern. I think that we'll just see Modo tend to be more for Eternal formats, and we'll see a little more less Standard play, which is fine. I also don't think the Modo economy, it did take like a big hit, but I think it'll recover. Big announcements always end up changing economies in general, and then everything kind of recovers. And Arena doesn't, the thing I don't really like about Arena is it doesn't seem to have a way to like turn like your gems and stuff back into cash. Like on Modo, you can turn your tickets into cash.
Yes.
And you can't really do that on Arena, which that makes me really like, I personally don't put my tickets into cash. I, you know, just set them on fire. So it doesn't really apply to me. But the people who actually, like, grind Modo for money, which is totally, like, a thing you can do. Like, you just can't really, doesn't seem like you can do that on Arena. And you also don't really have, like, a mana trader style thing where you can rent your cards.
Okay, so.
Play your decks.
You're going kind of deep on this. Let's touch on this one stage at a time.
Okay.
The Modo crash. I'm with you in that Modo crashing is not as big a deal as people think it is, and I think it's a temporary thing. And I am also with you that it is just the Eternal format. Now, I want to ask, did you do anything with your Modo collection? Did you, like, sell out? Did you, I know you use mana traders mostly, but I mean, did that crash affect you in any way?
No, I'd already cashed in all of my treasure chests and set those tickets on fire, so we were good.
Okay.
So, we were good to go. It had zero effect on me whatsoever.
That's fair. I was actually holding on to some chests, so I was hoping there was going to be, like, a rebound, and I think they had just, like, reset the treasure chests, like, I don't know, like, 3 days before this happened or something. I was going to sell them, but I never did, and then that happened, so.
I sold all of mine when they were, like, 2.3. They've been 2.5 for a while, and I saw them drop to 2.3, and I was like, oh, here's one of those little plummets, so I was like, I just sold all of mine.
Yeah, I think I blew that, but. Modo actually, so, yeah, okay, I missed that train, but Modo was in kind of dire straits for a second there, because when you start seeing tickets be worth less than a dollar, and, you know, less than 75 cents, and at some point they were like, tickets were worth like a quarter, that is bad for Modo, that was bad news, so that's something worth monitoring, but it does look like they've recovered a little bit.
Yeah, and I think they will again. They'll recover again once people see that Modo's not actually going anywhere. Just because they're putting all this money into Arena doesn't mean that Modo's going somewhere. Like, they just announced all these, like, different formats, ways you can focus on specific formats to qualify for MOX and qualify for the PT, or Mythic Championship, whatever.
Yep.
Like, they just made some huge announcement about that. Like, Modo's not going anywhere. It's just all their support for Standard and the esports platform is going to Arena, because Modo's fucking boring to watch.
Yeah, Modo is not good for that. So, we'll come back to Modo, but for right now, let's touch on Arena a little bit, because a big portion of this announcement is Arena based, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. that looks like where all the money's going. This is the flashy new platform. This is the hot thing to watch, if you will, in Magic. And you said you haven't gotten into Arena yet, right? But you said you've watched. I mean, what are your initial feelings on just Arena in general?
I think it's really engaging. Just from what I've watched, like, the actual gameplay is, like, really engaging. They have some... I've had some people ask me, like they couldn't figure out, like, how to hold priority and, like, tapping the line. Like, there's some, like, intricate things that you can do in Magic where, like, you, like, bluff stuff where people, like, are kind of struggling to figure that out. But it seems like, first of all, it's open beta. It's still open beta, right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. That's one thing going on,
isn't even, like, a final version. Like, they're just... So, like, it's just one of those things where it's, like, report back to Wizards or to the Arena crew every single thing that you want or don't like so that they can optimize it for us. But I think overall, it looks really, really engaging.
Yep. Yeah, so that has kind of been my take on it, is that I actually, you know, I mean, just based on where we are, it's more advantageous for us, you know, between me and you, to play Modo because, you know, we play a lot of Star City events, and those tend to be Eternal formats.
Yep.
So, and obviously, you know, I also play Standard, because, like, I have to play it on, you know, Pro Tour Grand Prix scene.
Sick brags.
Yeah, right? But... But even there, it's, like, still better for me to play on Modo because it's easier to acquire cards and there's better competition for me on Modo. So even when I was testing the format that is on Arena, it was still better for me personally to use Modo. And you can't draft against other people in Modo, which is another reason why it was better on Arena, yeah. So it was better for me to use Modo. So I hadn't gotten into Arena at all. And then when we got back from the Invitational, they gave us, like, this Arena code, and I had seen some other codes, so I kind of got on Arena. And some of my initial thoughts on it, like, from, you know, a more entrenched player's perspective, is it's pretty frustrating at first, honestly, because you can't just, like, acquire cards. Like, I wanted to play my Standard deck that I've been playing the entire format, right? And, like, it's asked me to play a bunch of Standard stuff to, like, get up and running, and it's like, well, if I could just play my deck, this would be a lot easier. But I can't just go buy my deck. Like, that's not how it works. Like, I literally can't just say, like, I want Teferi, Niv-Mizzet, Deafening Clarion, give me these cards, these dual lands, I'll play. It's like, no, you have to, like, get a bunch of packs first, and you have to open those cards individually. And then once you've opened those cards, you need to use, like, these wild card things that you have gotten to craft more copies of those cards. And it's this whole process, and I'm, like, 4 days in, and I still can't even play the deck I want to play. So I think there's an issue with that. From a, like, this is going to be the competitive flagship of the game thing, but I'm with you in the, like, it looks incredible perspective that you're talking about. And I'm totally with you in that, like, it's awesome for new players. Like, one thing about Magic Online is you can't tell what's happening in the game, even when it's, like they're attacking. It's, like, you might see the life total drop, but it's, like, the card just turns sideways. Like, you don't know what's happening with that. And, like,
you have to have played Paper Magic and, like, have learned that way to be able to do it. Because it's, like, but, like, when you, like, they halfway, they, like, turn that way and, like, jam into your face, like, on Arena. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you understand what's going on.
Yep. And so I'm with you on that. And it stole from games like Hearthstone and Eternal. Not stole, but it took aspects of digital card games that other card games are employing that people kind of already just intuitively understand to make it more watcher-friendly for just, like, the viewer.
Yeah, and I think that is a great way for Magic to go because
we
need more viewership.
I totally agree with you, and that's exactly where this has paid off. Like, the last week is the first time ever in the history of, like, Magic versus Hearthstone that Magic has done better on Twitch, like, against Hearthstone. It's never happened before. Hearthstone has just always blown Magic out of the water on Twitch. And Twitch is just where it's at right now, right? Like, Twitch is the premier, like, video gaming streaming mm-hmm. media website, right? And, like, even, like, podcasts happen on Twitch, all of this. And, you know, Hearthstone's just crushed Magic, and it's even stolen Magic Pros. Like, Magic Pros have left Magic to play it, and now all of a sudden Arena is beating Hearthstone, and that's crazy. That's never happened.
That's because people love to play Magic. They just didn't have a good online platform for it. So I think Arena is, like, I think Arena is going to be fantastic for Magic. I think that I don't think we're ever going to be able to play Modern on Arena, though.
Well, so, I disagree with that. The thing is, I think we will, but it's just, like, a down the, like, way down in the future thing, where it's, like, it just depends on how successful Arena actually is. Because if Arena just, like, takes off and just is incredibly successful, then, you know, they're incentivized to put more stuff on it and just, like, capture more people playing the game, right?
I think to an extent, I think that they're also... Wizards more concerned with, like, selling product, and Modern doesn't sell product.
Well, so, that's the other part. And this is the next step I wanted to get into with this. So... you know, we were talking about, you know, what is this going to mean for Magic Online? What is this going to mean for tournaments? You're talking about selling product for Wizards, and Arena doesn't actually do that, right? Like, you can buy stuff online. You were talking about, like, you can invest money into it, but you can't get it back, right? And I did that. I put in, like, $50 to just buy some booster packs when I first started, just to kind of, you know, get my collection going. And I know that's not something I'm ever going to get back, but... at the same time, you can build your collection without spending any money on Arena, which is actually awesome. Like, I can get all of Standard by just playing. Like, you can just get the starter deck they give you, jam a bunch of games, get a bunch of gold, draft, open wild cards, and, you know, if you put enough time in, you'll just have all the cards in Standard. And the longer you do it, you'll just have every card that exists on Arena at some point.
Yeah, and I mean more like, also, like, we're still going to have paper tournaments.
Yep.
And so, like, Standard sells... paper product.
Well, and that's what it is, too. That's what I was going to say about all of this, is, like, the more people you get playing Arena, the more people you're going to get playing Magic. And...
yeah. And so I think that... I just feel like they're going to end up focusing on Standard and potentially put, like, another non-rotating format. Like, I think it'd be great to have another non-rotating format. Like, I loved playing Frontier. I know I'm a fucking casual. I played Bant Starfield in Frontier, and it was so much fun.
That deck sounds horrible, by the way.
It was... god awful.
It sounds so bad.
So much fun. Sigil of the Empty. You know that stupid little centaur that makes your enchantments cost one less?
Yep.
Sigil of the Empty. Oh my god, it was great. I loved every second of it.
Yeah,
that
and sounds
the one
bad.
Where it's like every time you cast it on creature spell, you put like a little counter on it. Yep. And it like swings at them. Oh my god, I loved it. I loved it so much. It was so bad. I love playing bad decks. Like, I love it.
It's no shocking. And, it's not shocking that it was Bant either.
Oh yeah, of course not. No. Yep. That's literally all I know how to play is Bant.
Yep.
What are black cards? I don't understand. Yep. What do you mean? What's discard? But I
will point out you were doing this in a format where Torrential Gearhulk and Dig Through Time are legal.
Gonna, oh, 100%.
I'm just going to point that out.
100%. Okay. I chose to play Sigil of the Empty Throne, Stupid Centaur that makes enchantments cheaper. Not even close. And Silk Wrap. I played Silk Wrap.
Yeah, Silk Wrap's good against Torrential Gearhulk.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not.
No, it's not. But it is really good against Jace Vryn's Prodigy, which was one of the better cards in that format. And I'm actually with you. I played a ton of Frontier. That format was awesome.
It was so fun. And so, like, I would love to have another non-rotating format. I don't think it can have fetch lands in it. I think fetch lands made that format way too powerful.
Oh, no, I want them. Let's just have it all.
Nah.
Let's put it all in there.
It needs to be closer to Standard. And having perfect mana just, like, violates, to me, like, violates the sanctity of, like, that kind of format.
We'll see.
It'd be closer to Standard.
They don't actually... they only have allied duels that are fetchable. And they only had... I believe they only had allied fetches, too. So it did make for an awkward fetchable mana base.
That's true. But now you'd have like your cycle lands, too.
But those are also only allied. So really? Yeah, so there's only allied colored duels and allied colored fetches, which makes... It does make it interesting. It makes, like, enemy colors...
Well, now we'd have shocks, which are also allied colored.
As of right now. I mean, we're going to get... Well, no, we're there's some enemy colored ones. Yeah, we'd have shocks. We'd just have fetches and shocks, now I'm thinking about it. Okay, that might have to be addressed.
See, we can't have fetches.
Regardless, that doesn't matter. What I was going to get at was that, you know, people are scared of Modern going away because of this move towards Arena, and people are scared of, you know, Eternal formats dying because Modo's dying, right? And it's like you can't practice for these formats, but my thing is, like, if you just look at how any mobile game functions, how any online game functions, the way people start is just... this free-to-play model. Like, that's just how all of the games function in today's economy and society. And the way that starts is someone starts playing a game that costs them no money, and they do it just to have fun, and they just start it. And then they realize if the game's good that they want to keep playing, and they want to dive further in, and they want further experiences in the game's world. And not everybody stays. Some people play the game and they don't like it, and they go find something else. And that's just how the free-to-play model works. But the people that do stay move up, and they'll start playing Modern, and they'll start playing Legacy. And I think that's what Wizards is hoping for with Arena, and that's why they're putting all this money in. It's just like, hey, come check this out. And then when people check it out, they're going to love it, because everybody that plays Magic knows that Magic is just the best game, like, card game-wise.
It is the actual... I've... personally, like... other people were like, oh, play this other card game. I'm like, man, why can't I do that when I can play Magic? But I'm also still, like, still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. But even Magic, that, but like, you know, I've been playing Magic longer than you have, and I've played these other games. Like, I've sat down and played other ones, and none of them compare to Magic. They're just not the same. They're not as good, and they don't offer the same, you know, wide range of experiences that Magic gives you, so...
And wide, like, the fact that Magic, like, when you play Legacy, it is, to me, a totally different experience than playing Modern. Modern's a totally different experience than playing Standard. Standard, like, and they're all completely different from Limited.
Yeah, I agree.
And Sealed and Draft are just totally different. Like, you can play Magic in, like, all these amazing different formats, and they're completely different experiences.
Yeah, 100% different. So, you know, for us, I think we're going to end up seeing, you know, growth towards Modern and Legacy. And I think we're going to see a lot of it, but I think that's just a... down the line thing. Like, I think that's a wait and see experience. So, you know, people on Magic Online, like, yeah, Magic Online is going to take a hit in the short term, but I think long term this is going to be really good for the game. And I was going to say to the people that are here now that are already listening, like, you guys are the people that, you know, are already playing Magic. And I think this is going to be better for you than you realize. Like, we talked about how most of this money is going to go to the people with these contracts, right? These Pro Tour contracts. But I think people are missing where it's like, you know, getting to go. Like, there's a ton of people that play this game for the experience, right? Where it's like, you just want to go play with your friends and you want to have a good time at events. And that's really limited by the amount of people that go and, you know, to some extent, you know, the public's opinion on Magic as a game, because it's like, well, it's not cool. People aren't going to come and play. And then you just, you know, the population at tournaments is smaller. So it's just harder to connect with people because there's less people available, all that stuff. So I think... what happens is the game grows, is like the experience becomes better, people enjoy it more, you get to connect with friends more, there's more prize money available at tournaments, you know, like, in the cards you already own, as like a listener right now, like, will go up in value, so like, I think there's a ton of benefit here for people already playing, and I don't think people initially see that, but I think this is going to be huge for Magic, so.
I totally agree. I think that overall, like, any way that Magic can possibly be promoted and have engaged more players, new, older, bring players back, is net positive for Magic. I think all of these changes, either they're scary, are net positive for Magic. Like, we have to, like, as a Magic community, like, we have to be willing to embrace becoming more like an esport.
Yep.
Because esports are taking off. Like, that is what people want to see, is like that... like, amazing commentary, the engaging gameplay, getting to feel like you're actually there and part of what's going on and getting excited. Like, watching something on Magic Online doesn't exactly just get me going.
Yeah.
But when you get to watch, like, this huge creature come down and, like, rise up and look all scary, you're like, oh, shit, something huge is happening right now. Like, that's exciting.
You just cast a Carnage Tyrant. Oh, no!
I know! And, like, that stuff is exciting. And, like, that is what we, as a Magic community, want to see out of Magic. Because we want, like, we're engaged as players, like, competitive players, like, you know what's going on, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. But a new player is saying, oh, like, I don't, oh, that was cool. Oh, okay, cool. Like, that's not, we want to be where, like, it's just more intuitive and more engaging, and I think all these changes are going to be really good for Magic.
Well, and something else that Magic has going for it that, you know, other esports don't have, which I think is going to be a huge boon for the game, is that players can actually commentate on the game while they're playing. Like, it's not that hard. And, like, if you go look at, like, you know, like, Call of Duty or Super Smash Brothers or League of Legends, these other games where that are, like, just very, very popular, that have very big esports scenes, if you watch the players playing, they are just playing and they're talking to their teammates or they're in the zone or whatever. There's all that there's just too much focus for them to actually engage with the audience during games. And, like, let's look back to Grand Prix Reed Duke earlier this year, where he's actually playing in a Grand Prix and talking to the audience at the same time. And, like, that's going to be huge for Magic, because that's something that they're trying to take advantage of. It's something that they already know about. Like, they already did Grand Prix Reed Duke, right? And that's something that's going to happen with this Pro League. So, I think that's big for us. I think the actual streaming experience with Magic is, you know, a lot better for a lot of people. And the other thing I think that is awesome for Magic is Magic has the longest life expectancy for players in the game, right? Where it's like, if you play Magic, you can just keep playing, and it's like, you don't become outdated, you can just play for fun with your friends, and it's just always an experience you can have with your friends. Whereas, like, other esports, like, if your reaction time goes down, you literally can't play anymore. And, like,
yeah.
that's just a fact. Like, I used to play competitive Halo, like, back when Halo was big when I was in high school, and I just literally can't play with them anymore because I don't have the thumb speed and reaction time, but, like, I can still go compete in a tournament and play Magic, and I can do this for a long time. Like, I'm going to be able to do this for 25 years, and I think that's something people will recognize, so I'm excited for this. I think it's going to draw in so many people. This is such a big opportunity for Magic. You know, and I know a lot of people that listen to this probably are on the SCG tour, and it's like, well, this doesn't affect us. And it's like, well, I think it's going to. I really do. And I think it's going to...
I do, too. I think it'll be one of those things where we'll actually see SCG tour, because everyone's so scared of the announcement, mm-hmm. and feels like this limbo and, like, this fear. Like, you'll actually see attendance at SCGs go up. These people are like, SCG does something consistent. They like listen to their players. They promote their players. Like, they'll see all these amazing things that SCG is doing. And I think we'll actually see a lot of attendance go up at SCGs, which is weird to me because I think this announcement's really exciting and great. But I think that it's really scary for people like in the pro club that are in the current pro club that aren't going to be in the top 32. And I think we'll see a lot of them coming out to SCGs more.
Well, so you're not wrong. We touched about it earlier where it was like, all I have to do is show up to Grand Prix. Like, literally. If I show up to 10 Grand Prix and get one pro point at them, which is not that hard for me personally, if, like, when you factor in my buys, I just have to 10-5, yeah. which is like 8-5 after buys, which is not that hard to do when, you know, you practice more than most of the people you play against, essentially. I just have to show up to these events, and I don't even know if I'm going to because there's all this uncertainty, and they haven't given me all these announcements, and there's just this crazy stuff happening, so... I think you're right on that. I think SCG is going to see a ton of growth in the short term, and I think this is just big for Magic in general, because even if this system doesn't work for the mid-level pro, it's going to work for Magic, I believe. And
yeah, I think anything that can help promote players and pro players and tell a story about them so that people are cheering for them and feel connected and feel like they're rooting for someone. Feel it's like people in Overwatch, like, I think Overwatch is a great comparison for this because, like, they have leagues, like you have like an association with an Overwatch league, and that's who you cheer for, just like a sports team.
Yep.
Like, I'm a huge Falcons fan and a Clemson Tigers fan, like, huge fan. I will never change my loyalty ever. If they have like teams like that in Magic where you're like, I'm this team, and it's better than just like the team series team. The team series teams aren't like, it's just different because they change every time.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you just really, you really promote this as like a, are you like, it's like, are the Pokemon Go. Everyone was so into their stupid whatever they were called. You know what I'm talking about?
Pokemon?
Like, I was in the
the team.
Yeah. And everyone was super into like the fact that they're okay, I lost this because I can't remember. But whatever the thing was, but it was like people really love feeling like they're like part of something, and they get to cheer for it, and they get to root for it, and they have a place.
Well, I think we have that in Magic too, which is the cool thing, right? Like, we already have archetypes, and people like
that's true. Yeah.
You're already the Queen of Banned Spirits, Kat. Like, there is. There is the Spear Squad out behind you, right? And,
yeah.
You know, there are people, not as many, that like Jeskai players like myself. And,
y'all need a leader. You have to have a leader.
We do. I think it's like Rossum right now, maybe? I don't know.
Bro, it's probably Nikolic.
Maybe Nikolic, yeah, something like that. Brad Nelson
Rossum
recently.
Rossum wishes he was Nikolic. Okay, he's going to hate me. He's not going to listen to this podcast.
Some interesting tea right there. Yeah, so I think we have that with archetypes, and that's going to be really cool. So, like, you know, I think, and this is something that people know already, but the people that play this game know that this game is great, and when people see that, they'll stay, and they'll come and play, and, you know, just big things for Magic in the coming years. So, with that, I think we've touched on the announcement a lot, covered a bunch of the things we wanted to hit with it. If you found any of that, you know, particularly engaging, you disagreed with any of it, you know, you wanted to ask some more questions, you know, feel free to get at us on Twitter.
Yep. Every time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, happy to engage on this topic. I'll be there at A22EN. And Kat, where are you going to be at?
I am at HellcatMTG.
Yep, so...
Probably seen me all over your feeds lately, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. somebody has been in Newsweek recently.
Don't! Please don't talk about that stupid
you might,
where they have me ugly crying.
You might have seen her there.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, that's all we have for the magic half of this podcast. But we've got another little topic we wanted to hit on, and we kind of touched on it at the beginning, but let's get a little deeper into details here. So Kat, you know, you said you were moving You want to give us some more details as to, you know, why you're doing this and what your, you know, coming future plans are?
So I guess I'll just kind of start at the beginning. I got fired.
Oh, jeez.
Which is something that's, like, really hard to say, like, out of a pride for myself. Like, I was really good at my job. I am not good at keeping my mouth shut when I don't agree with people.
Sure.
Which was, quote, not being a team player, end quotes. And that cost me my job. But my heart wasn't in my job for, like, the last 3 months. And I think it was pretty obvious. And so I got fired. But I got enough of a severance package that it made it to where I can do magic full time. Which is really all I wanted to do. Like, I was planning to quit my job in a year. Basically, like, once my apartment lease was up, I was going to quit and try to find a way to go full-time magic. And so now it's just kind of, like, got turboed into that.
Yep.
And so I am moving to Michigan to live with Brandon Dalloway, Stephen Dykeman, and Michael Worth. And we're having, like, I'll be living closer or farther away from the road. All right. So, we're going to have basically a magic house. And I'm going to be streaming full time, going to all different tournaments, doing content creation. I'm going to jump more into a role as, like, social media manager for Lotus Box. And I have a couple other things lined up that I can't really talk about yet, but I'm really excited about a lot more, like, social media stuff. And I'm really, really, really excited. I've felt, like, pulled in a million different directions for the past, like, 6 months, where I just wanted to go into magic so badly, but I was like, but then I'm out with this job, and I have this drive to be the best at everything I do, so it was really hard to, like, be at my job and be like, I don't actually want to be the best at this, but I'm letting people down, and it was, like, this awful feeling, and so now I'm just, like, I'm free of that, and I have enough freedom to do whatever the fuck I want.
Sure.
Move to freezing fucking cold Michigan to play magic. And I'm going to be a lot closer to all the SCGs next year, which is great, because right now we're looking at 8+ hour drives and flying everywhere and trying to make that work. And now I'm just like, well, cool, I can drive to everything because it's less than 8 hours. It's going to be great. And I'm really, really, really excited.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, that's huge, huge news. That's huge news for everyone listening. And I'm sure, I don't think you've announced it everywhere yet that that's happening. So I'm sure it'll come as news to some people. But, you know, at least I've kind of known about it for a little bit. And it's awesome. We're super excited to have you here in Michigan. The Michigan scene for magic is great, as you might have heard me say a couple times. So
I did know that our most recent Pro Tour champion was there. It lives in Ann Arbor. So Andrew Elbogen.
Yep.
Yep, and, like, Max and Betty is there, and there's so many amazing people that are there, too. Just, like, Joss lives there, and, like, Jocelyn, who I'm teaming with, and I'm so excited.
Yep. Yeah, so it's going to be awesome, but let's hit on some of the actual practicalities of moving, right?
Yes.
So, I know you're moving into, you know, like, a community that you kind of, you know a bunch of people in already and are familiar with, and you know, it's a good, you know, place for you, but for a lot of people, moving can be pretty hard. So, you know, what, like, I guess, I don't want to, like, compare it to that, but it can be tough, and there are definitely challenges that come along with it, and, you know, I'm sure you're facing some, so you want to give us some of the challenges you're kind of expecting to experience here?
So, I've never driven, like, a truck before. So we're, like, U-Haul thing. And then we're like, so we're getting, like, this U-Haul truck. And yep. Then, like, having to tow my car behind it. Because my little car just isn't going to make it hauling a trailer 12 hours and potentially through snow. And we're not even going to try that. So
yep.
I have to, like, figure out how the fuck to put my car in this tow thing. And then I also have to, like, drive a truck. And then, so, like, Brandon's flying down on Friday to help me finish packing and, like, move the big stuff. And into, like, the truck and do all that, and then drive up with me so I don't have to drive by myself. Cats. I have three cats. My ex-boyfriend's taking one of the cats, but I have to try to move cats 12 hours. It's not actually 12 hours. It's 12 driving hours, and so it's really going to be, like, 16 hours, and it's going to be an adventure.
Yeah, this sounds hard.
Is what I keep saying. So it's just a lot, but really the hardest part's been getting my forcing myself to actually pack.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like my, one of the hardest part has to be leaving stuff behind too, right?
Yeah, so my mom's like coming up to take a bunch of the furniture because I can't take all of it, which is great, but it's definitely like, I like made this place home, and I've been in South Carolina for 7+ years now, and my friends did like a send-off dinner for me last night, and it's really hard. I'm gonna cry again. I'm gonna miss my friends a lot. Like, as excited as I am to move to closer to like to other friends, like my best friends are here in South Carolina, and I'm gonna miss them a lot. Thankfully, they play Magic, and there'll be a lot of SCGs, and I'll get to see them. But it's not gonna be the same.
No, yeah, that is hard. The redeeming news here is you get to see them at SCGs, right? And it's not like before. So you move away, you never see them again. Like, there still is Twitter. There still is Magic Online. There's Google Hangouts. Like, you'll still get to see these people a little bit at least. So not as bad, but.
I mean, I've never lived more than 2 hours from my parents, which, like, I don't see them that often. I see them probably every, like, 2 months. But it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, I always have the option to go home. And if I need something, like, I had the flu 2 weeks ago. My mother drove up when I had the flu because, like, I don't live with anyone anymore. So, like, she drove up and was like, I'll take care of you. I got this. And she's never done that. First of all, she's never done that for me before. I got really sick in school and she was like, you're fine. Go to the nurse. And now I'm like 3 years out of school. She's like, it's okay. I'll mom you. And I'm just like, mommy, stop. And so, like, that's one of those things. Like, she can't really do that when I'm up in Michigan. So, like, that's kind of weird, and it's also one of those things like, well, what if everything falls apart and we all hate living together and I have to like go back down to Atlanta? And so it's like a lot of like scary things, but I'm a person who's just like, I'm gonna believe that it's gonna work out, and I always have the mentality, if I believe it's gonna work out, I'm gonna do everything in my power to help it work out, and it'll work out.
Sure. Yeah, so I mean, overall, yeah, ton of risk, ton of like things that are scary, but there's also a ton of benefits for you, and you know, it's just the next stage in your life, it's the next part of your journey. And if it happens and works out, awesome. And if it doesn't, then, you know, I'm sure, you know, you're a very capable person. You'll figure out the way to go after. So
my mother keeps calling it my Michigan adventure. She was like, well, when you're done with your Michigan adventure, you can come back home. And she's like, the horses will be here. You can play Magic whenever you want. It'll be great. She, like, already has a plan for after all of this. Which I think is great.
Oh, that is awesome. But, yeah, so, you know, yeah, this is awesome. But before we sign off, I'm going to ask you some questions about Michigan because I have lived here my whole life. And let's just be clear for the people listening. Where have you lived? You said you've always lived within like 2 hours of your parents. So what general area are you from again?
So I'm from the Southeast. So I grew up in Atlanta. I was born in Knoxville.
Okay.
Grew up in Atlanta my entire life. And then I've lived in South Carolina, Spartanburg or Greenville, the last 7+ years. I went to school there and just kind of stayed.
Sure. So, in my experience, I've kind of been to both areas, and I would say they're pretty similar compared to Michigan.
Yeah.
At least climate-wise, and, you know, a lot of the people are the same. But, Kat, how do you do in cold weather? Do you think that's a good thing for Kat?
It is not a good thing for Kat. I'm going to be a Catsicle.
Okay.
That's what I've accepted. I own ski jackets from going skiing.
Okay. But that's a good thing.
Like, I asked Brandon how cold it gets, and he was like, with or without wind chill. And I was like, what is wind chill?
Oh, you don't know wind chill?
I did not know what wind chill is. Yikes. I now know. I'm a little nervous. Also, so I haven't, it snowed at the Invitational. Like, we got snowed in.
Yep.
I've never shoveled snow.
Oh,
I've never had to drive in snow before.
Okay.
My car, like, is covered in salt now, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with all this crap in my car.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right, well, we're going to need to give you some lessons here. So, yeah, first question is, do you have good boots?
I do. I do have really nice winter boots.
All right, good. That's important. That's going to be important. Second thing is, when you ask for a temperature in Michigan, you're going to get two temperatures. This is just how this works now. You get one temperature that is the temperature the thermometer is going to tell you, and you get another temperature that is the temperature with the wind chill. And don't be afraid, because that temperature is always going to be like 20 degrees colder than the actual temperature. And that number is also the number that's going to feel like outside. But the good news is that it's not actually that cold, it just feels that way.
Okay, so it basically it is.
So it's not life-threatening, it's just painful.
Okay, that's good to
know. That's good. That's good for you.
It's not life-threatening, it's just painful. Yeah, that's a great quote. Quote of the episode.
Yep, so there you go. That's good news for Kat. Now, I will say that you said you've never shoveled snow, right?
Well, I didn't until this weekend. I shoveled snow this weekend.
Okay, so we got a good start. Okay, so we've started shoveling snow.
I called it my warm-up. It was my Michigan warm-up this weekend.
That's good. You know, I'm going to say that in where you're moving, this area of Michigan, gets a pretty heavy average snowfall. So, you know, you got your warm-up there. This is going to be good for you. You're going to become a lot stronger. It's going to be like cardio exercise in the winter. You're going to get a lot of practice shoveling the snow. So that's,
I'm just not going to leave my house.
Oh, you're going to have to. You're going to have to. That's just, that's how this works. So,
no.
You said you've gone skiing before, right? You have ski jackets?
Yeah, I have ski jackets.
Yeah, if it's,
and I like snow pants.
Okay, good. Because if it snows a lot, you might need to use those to actually just get out of your house to go anywhere. Maybe take a cross-country ski ship.
Even get near the door, I'm going to have my ski jacket on.
Oh, yeah, you probably should. Yeah. But also, you know, how many sweaters do you own right now? Just like hoodies and pullovers and things like that?
So I actually went through like a box of crap that was my closet that had like 5 hoodies in it. And I got really excited.
Okay, you're going to need like double that. So you should go shopping and get some of those. Yeah. Okay. That's especially because I imagine you don't deal well with the cold and you're coming up here in December, right?
No.
Yeah.
I like, again, it's, you know, it's never going to get any worse than when I'm moving up there. So...
Well, that's not true. That's bad news. Yeah, that's the bad news. Is December is actually more mild than January and February in Michigan, just for the record. Oh. So,
you know, burst in my bubble.
Yeah. So the good news is that once you get over the initial hump, then it just gets way easier. And the summers here are actually awesome. So that's really cool. I will say
100 degrees and really humid because that's what I love.
No, it's like 80, but.
I can accept 80. I normally prefer like 95, but I can accept 80.
It is 100% humidity all the time here, except in winter. Yes. So it's always humid. It actually feels really hot here even when it's not. So that's a thing. But
I'm going to die without humidity. Like, I already have I have a humidifier for winters down here.
Okay. Yeah, no, you should.
So like, I'm going to have that running all the time up there.
You should bring that. The humidity in Michigan is very polarizing. And you said you've never really driven in snow?
No.
No, okay. That's something you're going to need to work on. So...
Brandon said he's going to teach me, and I was like, you're going to teach me. Mister, like, I'm going to make a wrong move and get snapped at and then panic, and then we're going to crash.
That's not a good...
Like, maybe someone else should teach me how to...
Yeah, that's not a good combination in snow. You don't want to, like, aggressively hit the acceleration in the snow. It's going to put you in a ditch. So we're going to need to work on that. But, you know, the first advice we're going to have for you here is that, you know, be consistent with the gas and... maintain the steering wheel. Do not let that slip because, you know, going off course in snow can lead to further being off course and, yeah, that's bad. So
I'm
don't do
gonna
that.
Go do everything really, really, really slow. You start, you speed up really slow, you slow down really slow, you give yourself, like, 4 times the amount of extra space.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's actually the right way to approach it. Not a lot of people here do that, so you're gonna get honked at a lot, but just pretend that they're
saying
hi. Yeah, just pretend that's like a friendly greeting.
I'm good at being honked at.
Okay, good. So, so we have some skills there. All right, good. Perfect.
Yeah. So I will sit there and be like, all right, fuck off. Thanks.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. So I will say, too, that I'm sure a lot of this is scary and kind of terrible for, like, the winter aspects for you. But I have a boss actually at the company I work for, and she is originally from Tennessee. So she's come.
She survived.
Yeah, she's lived in Michigan for about, I don't know, 10 years or something. So, you know, she kind of came up here and probably longer than that. I don't actually know. But, you know, she came up here, and I actually talked to her about this just to, you know, kind of see what you're going to go through. And she let me know that the winters never got better. So that's.
I got that to look forward to.
That's bad news. But. That she says she absolutely worships the summers here, so that's good news.
Okay, yeah, I got that going for me. That's good news. Summertime.
And the fall here is actually the best season of all time. So
it was November, the first week of November, and it snowed up there. So don't tell me that. That's a lie.
Well, it doesn't usually snow here in November. It's usually it doesn't actually start till like January. Although that did happen, but that's not a normal thing.
Yeah. I got pictures from you. I got pictures from, like, four other people that knew I was moving up there. And I was like, oh.
But I will say,
I don't want it to snow on my birthday.
I will say August, September, October are just incredible here.
August is not the fall. That's the summer.
No, that's the fall here.
Okay.
The end of August is fall here. And
August is the hottest season here.
It's still kind of hot here, but it's just, like, starts to become fall. But the good news for you is that you moved into, like, one of the most scenic, beautiful areas in the entire country. And during fall here, all the leaves change, and you're just, like, in this very forested area for miles. And it's all, like...
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, no, you live in, like, one of the most beautiful cities on the entire planet. I'm going to be straight up. And that's going to be awesome for you. So you're going to really enjoy that.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's some of the good news. Yeah, that is good news.
I just have to survive a year. I could do this.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, there's there. There's that. But otherwise, other than that, we're super happy to have you here. And again, you know, it's going to be, the move's going to be cool. So we will be sure to come back to this and ask you how it's going periodically, you know, in the future episodes, just to...
We've been in 4 days.
Oh, jeez.
So.
Oh, jeez.
I just need to not snow until I get up there so I can actually get up there.
It's not snowing right now, if that makes you feel
That's
better.
Good.
Yeah, that
All
might
right.
make
like
you
a
feel
good
better.
Start.
Yeah, so there we have that. Okay. But anyway, I think that's all we have for you guys this week. Thank you again for tuning into Turn One Wild Nakato. Again, don't be afraid to hit us up on Twitter. Always happy to answer questions. Always happy to talk about the changes. And
at SCG events, if we're there. Please come talk to us. Even if I'm talking to someone else, don't be afraid to interrupt and be like, "Hi, Kat," or "Hi, Zach." We'll gladly talk to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to talk to people anytime. You know, happy to sign cards. That's mostly Kat's thing, the signed cards. So
always happy to sign cards. If you want some Spirit Squad signed cards, let me know. Just don't be the fucker that had me sign the card.
Oh.
After telling me he liked watching how badly it got, I got destroyed by Tano on camera.
Oh.
I signed it. That was rude.
That's fair. Okay, well, love you guys.
Yep. Right. Thanks for listening.